I want to welcome you back to Stephen's True Crime Commentary. I am Stephen David Lampley, and I thank you for joining us again. You people are amazing. The kind comments and support that you're giving me on my True Crime Commentary has been phenomenal. Please, if you would, share the commentary with your friends. Tell them to listen in, and I'd really appreciate that. The more listeners we have, the better. Thank you so much. Today we're going to begin our discussion on ballistics. There's going to be several parts to this, and this is the first part. Let's just get right into it. There are four stages of ballistics. The first stage is internal ballistics, or the ballistics that have to do with the firing of the weapon until the bullet exits the barrel. The next phase of ballistics is transitional. Transitional ballistics exists from the time the bullet exits the gun until all of the built-up pressure inside of the gun has subsided and equalized. The next phase of ballistics is external. External ballistics has to do with the ballistics involved from the time all the pressure is released until it strikes the target. Terminal ballistics is the last category, and terminal ballistics has to do with the ballistics involved of the bullet itself and the target. All right, so today we're going to talk about internal. Matter of fact, today and the next episode, we're going to talk about internal because there's a lot of stuff that goes on inside that gun in a split second. All right, as I said, internal ballistics has to do with everything that happens in the gun from the time the firing pin strikes the primer and sets in motion the combustion of the primer until the bullet has cleared the gun. There's a difference now. Also, I see this a lot. A lot of people think that a bullet is what they put in gun. And that's partially true, but let me explain. There's a difference between the bullet and the cartridge. All right? A cartridge consists of the casing, which is usually brass, the primer, the gunpowder, and the bullet that is stuck in the end of the casing. Now, that's a cartridge. The bullet is what comes out of the barrel. Okay, so when you put bullets in the gun, yeah, that's partially true, but you're putting so much more. You're putting a cartridge in with everything that you need to fire the bullet. All right. Now, when the firing pin strikes the primer, it sets in motion the combustion of the primer. Now, a primer is typically composed of three elements, antimony, barium, and lead. These are the signature elements of gunshot residue. Now, the primer typically is enclosed by a very, very thin sheet of aluminum, and the combustion in the primer quickly burns through the aluminum, and the fire then reaches the gunpowder, igniting it. Now, once the gunpowder is ignited, you're going to have a tremendous amount of pressure in that gun. We're talking about 30 to 40,000 pounds per square inch in that gun that you're holding. Now, this is what forces the bullet out of the gun at a rapid pace. Now, when the combustion begins, the pressure that's created by the firing starts to exit any opening in the gun it can find, any crevice, any hole. It doesn't all come out the end of the barrel, you understand. It takes any avenue it can find. Included in that combustion plume is primer and gunpowder residue, along with microscopic parts of the casing and even the gun barrel itself. Now, gunpowder is typically composed of nitrocellulose and other compounds containing nitrate or nitrogen. Now, other additives can include things such as stabilizers, plasticizers, flash inhibitors, coolants, moderants, surface lubricants, and even anti-wear compounds. But this is not necessarily what we're concerned about when we talk about gunshot residue. And we'll talk about this a little more later. Primer elements are typically easier to detect in residues as they do not get as hot as the gunpowder. Okay? Now, contrary to what people think, again, gunpowder is not what forensic investigators are interested in. Forensic investigators are interested in a triad combination of the three elements and the primer, antimony, barium, and lead. When the primer and gunpowder combust, it creates a super saturated cloud that includes a plethora of materials As it exits the gun, this plume of smoke, per se, begins to cool, and some of the elements combine together as it cools as they fall from the air. Now, it is these three elements combining from the primer that forensics people are interested in. Some of these spherical shapes only contain antimony, some only barium, some contain a couple of them. They're not necessarily interested in the ones that contain one or two elements. They're looking for the spherical shapes in the gunpowder residue that contain all three of those. Now, let's talk a little bit about lands and grooves. When a gun is manufactured, it is milled, and the barrel of the gun is ground with grooves in a twisting pattern so that the bullet spins as it leaves the barrel. Now, why does the bullet need to spin? If you're a football fan or you know a quarterback, ask any quarterback, is a football more accurate if you just throw it stiff-armed, or is a football more accurate if it spins as it goes? And 100% of them should tell you it's more accurate if it spins. And so therefore, that's why a bullet needs to spin, because it keeps on track better and it's more accurate. Now, because the bullet is so very tight as it passes through the barrel, the indentions ground down, called the grooves, and the raised areas left, called the lands in the barrel, leave impressions on the bullet. Gun manufacturers vary on land and groove dimensions, and all of these are listed in a database for forensic examiners to search. The measurements of lands and grooves are called class evidence. It's what we call class evidence. Class evidence tells the manufacturer and the model of the gun. Class evidence does not tell us which gun. It gives us a basis to narrow down that we're looking for a certain model and a certain caliber of the gun, maybe even a certain year or a certain lot. Now, because guns are milled, there are imperfections on the metal surface caused by the milling process itself. Some of these imperfections may be visible with the eye, but most are not. Now, these imperfections, because of the tight fit of the bullet traveling through the barrel, also leave marks on the bullet. Now, these imperfections are called individual evidence. Individual evidence tells us which gun the bullet was fired from. If you'll look at the handout, for instance, that goes along with this, the bottom right photo, you'll see an arrow that points to the edge of the groove, and you can see the width of the groove. And inside the width of the groove, you'll see small striations in the groove. These are caused by little raised areas in the barrel. These little raised areas cause these indentions. Because each handgun is different with its imperfections, it's like a fingerprint, and we can identify which gun or the individual gun that fired this bullet. Listen, our time is out. We're going to come back next week, or we're going to finish up internal ballistics. Listen, I want to invite you. We have a new program out called How to Catch Liars. It's a seminar format. It's about an hour to 2 hours in length, depending on what your needs are. And we're giving this throughout the country. What I seek to do is to help you understand how to catch liars, what to look for, what they do. In this seminar, we cover such things as global versus individual indicators, contractions, base shift. We'll talk about illusion and evasion. We'll discuss voice and tone and eye shift, and there'll be a lot more discussions. When you leave there, you'll have a better understanding of how to pick out a liar and how to tell when you're being lied to. If you are interested in learning more about this, just go to my website, StephenDavidLampley.com/catch-a-liar. Listen, it's been great. I've enjoyed being with you again. I'll see you again the next time.
Stephen's True Crime Commentary is a production of Something Weird Media and West 53rd Productions. Music by JasonLampley.com.